This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Of Tyrants and Tea Kettles by Leslie Heron. Chapter 9, Myconia. Vel stared down at the burnt husk of a house as long moments of silence passed, broken only by Piper's occasional sob or sniffle. He knelt down and plucked up a charred fragment of wood from the pile, turning the blackened hunk over in his hands as his AI flickered to life, running a new set of calculations. There was another pregnant pause, as new implications started to click into place.
"Wait, your brother?"
He looked up at her. Piper turned away, refusing to let him see her cry any more than he already had.
"We got separated when the street sweepers caught me. I've been trying to get back to him ever since."
Vel dropped the chunk of charred wood and let out an angry sigh. He was struggling internally. On one hand, he was pissed. She had lied to him once again and used him to get where she wanted to go. There was no scientist, just a brother. On the other hand, he knew exactly what it was like to be separated from a sibling. He climbed to his feet, pain coursing through his thigh.
"Final analysis complete. Burn pattern indicative of arson. No sign of body impressions. Likelihood of occupants present during combustion, 12.46%.
Vel's cybernetic vision ignited with color as his AI overlaid the scene with glowing light indicating the spread of fire. He watched an animated version of a plain square building going up in flames. There was definitely an accelerant used, and quite liberally at that. He whisked away this information with a wave of his hand before turning to his companion.
"Well, I have some good news and some bad news."
Piper cleared her nose loudly before dragging her sleeve across her face, wiping away her tears as she turned to face the cyborg with her own stoic expression.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Well, the good news is nobody died in this fire."
Piper glanced back at the charred remains of the building, then back at her companion with a growing look of confusion.
How could you possibly know that?"
"Duh."
Vel paused, pulling a face. "How do you explain advanced artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and forensic analysis to someone living in an age of steam and coal?"
"Well, let's just say I've seen a lot of fires. If there was someone caught in there, it would have left certain shapes burned into the floor."
She paled, taking half a step back from him.
"You've, seen a lot of these shapes?"
At the look of panic rearing in those amber eyes of hers, Vel waved his hands frantically in front of himself.
No, not like that. I would never do that to someone."
He gave her an innocent smile.
"I just know what to look for."
She nodded, but didn't move any closer.
"Okay, so you're saying my brother wasn't in there? That's great."
"Well, that's where the bad news comes in. Someone may have tried to kill him. This fire wasn't accidental."
He pointed to a section of the rubble that was especially blackened.
"Somebody started this on purpose."
Piper looked at the destroyed remains of the house, more confused than alarmed.
"Why would anyone?" "Oh."
Her expression hardened.
"I think I know where we need to go next."
She grabbed him by the mechanical hand and pulled hard. Vel resisted, stopping her attempts to leave.
"I need to ask you something."
He looked down at her, his jaw set. Piper let go of his hand and looked up at him.
"Did you see something else?"
Vel shook his head.
"I want to know the truth. Were you really planning on helping me, Or were you just using me to get you to your brother?
Piper rolled her eyes.
Of course I was using you to get back to him.
Belle's expression hardened.
Oi, don't look at me like that.
She leveled a scolding finger at him.
My brother is special, all right? If he can't help you get that whatchamacallit fixed, nobody can. I'm killing two birds with one stone is all.
Then why did you lie? Why didn't you just tell me he was your family?
Piper gave a cynical laugh.
Yeah, a pickpocket living on the streets tells you her brother is some kind of technological genius? What kind of idiot would believe that?
Well, dang. The kid had a point, he thought. Even though it was still quite a stretch to believe, he didn't get a chance to voice his concern. Piper had disappeared from his side and was already a fair distance down the street.
Let's get the lead out, Grandad. We don't have long before curfew hits.
Vel was exhausted, not having slept since he had arrived in that Silverport trash pile, and being knocked unconscious only technically counted as sleep. By his estimation, he had been awake for the better part of 48 hours. But it was hard to tell time when one constantly jumps between worlds. He watched Piper dart ahead of him, scanning the street for guards. While his outfit was no longer an issue, curfew was apparently strictly enforced in this area, and they could ill afford that kind of attention. Piper signaled, and he hobbled after her, holding himself up with his scrap length of copper pipe. He felt for her. He really did. But part of him suspected that this was just another setback. He desperately wanted to get his half of the portal locker fixed so he could get back to his only remaining family. But there was that nagging voice in his head, chiding him for feeling this way when the girl was in the same boat. Piper led him behind an abandoned building where there were no streetlights to contend with.
Almost there. Then we'll be safe for the night.
Vel huffed.
Yep, perfectly safe. You know, with the people you suspect of trying to kill your brother.
Hey, don't get snippy with me, old man.
She glowered at him from the shadows of the alleyway.
It's complicated, all right? Just don't worry. I've got it handled.
Despite the reassuring tone of her voice, Vel could tell that she was still filled with panic and worry. He sighed heavily and fell in line behind her.
Fine. Is there anything I need to know before we get in there?
Piper stopped at the base of a bridge, leaning against the railing to see if anyone was approaching from the other end.
Don't trust anything they say or do.
Vel felt a twinge in the side of his temple.
Yep, sounds perfectly safe.
She tugged at his sleeve, and they started across the bridge.
If my brother is alive, if he is out there, then the guild will know.
The guild?
Vel asked. He didn't like the sound of that.
Yeah, haven't you ever heard of guilds back in your home?
He had, of course. They were rarely in reference to something benign.
I try not to get involved in group activities.
Piper laughed.
That's a nice way of saying you don't like to associate with my kind.
She smiled and took a sharp turn to the left between two old buildings as they reached the opposite end. Vel struggled to keep up with her.
That's not what I meant.
The guild in this city isn't so bad. Sure, it has this whole rob from the rich, give to themselves kind of thing, but they take in orphans off the street, give them a place to live, and help them integrate back into society.
Through thievery?
They exited the dark path into what Vel could only describe as a ghost town. The main streets were closed off with faded barricades. The sidewalks were empty, filthy, and papered with old newsprint. The lamps, still powered by the hum of electricity, had been forgotten and most neglected to work. They walked past building after building, all of them with darkened windows and boarded-up doors. Even in the extremely low light, Vel could tell this portion of the city had been abandoned long ago.
"Don't turn your nose up at me now, old man. The guild helped me and me brother get off the streets."
They crossed a deserted intersection, and she stopped at a large brick structure that had once been an impressive example of architecture. Now it looked as though it might collapse under its own weight. The stone arch that framed the doorway had begun to crumble, and the roof was slanting dangerously to one side. The outside walls had been charred slightly, as if a minor fire had tried to take hold but failed. After a rather odd display of dodging loose tiles and stepping over broken steps, they reached the top of the stairs. Piper gave him a short look before turning back to the massive set of wooden doors, where she rapped hard against them in a rhythmic pattern. Vel watched the doors slowly open, as if by an invisible hand. Piper darted in ahead of him, and he followed, waiting for his eyes to adjust to the near-black interior. A familiar scent hit him, and memories resurfaced. Memories of his brother poring over tomes in the tiny library of their childhood town. The smell of books, aged paper, and ink filled the air. A small point of light sparked to life as someone across from them lit a match, fitting it into a small gas lamp. As it ignited, a warm, flickering glow fought against the black and revealed a frail old woman perched behind an old, broken-down desk. Her shock-white hair was pulled back into a tight, braided bun, and large spectacles sat comfortably on her beak-like nose.
"May I help you?"
Piper strode forward into the sphere of light.
"I'm here to speak to Chester."
The old woman stood from her chair, and Vel was struck by her height. She may have been real thin, but the way she was able to look down her nose at both of them made him feel like a scolded child.
"The library is closed for the evening. You will have to come again tomorrow."
Piper gently laid a hand on the woman's arm.
"Listen, Dio, it's about me brother. Please let me in."
The woman deflated slowly, her expression melting into a fond smile.
"Fine, but just tell him you snuck in some other way. I can't deal with his whining about security again."
She bent down and gave Piper a brief hug.
"It's good to see you, girl. We thought you were dead."
"You got it, Dio."
Piper gave her a peck on the cheek.
"I'll blame Daniel. He's always fallen asleep at the east entrance."
Theo chuckled, patting Piper gently on the shoulder before handing her the lamp. Piper led Vel past the main desk and through an archway. He leaned in close and whispered,
"The guild has an old woman guarding the front door?"
Piper glanced over her shoulder, the look on her face deliberate.
"Trust me, Theodosia can hold her own. She might not look it, but I'd rather have her by my side in a fight than a stone Goliath."
Vel processed this information as they entered the library proper. They were immediately met with ceiling-high bookshelves. The windows were boarded up, blocking out any outside light, and a dusty chandelier hung like a forgotten specter from a high ceiling. Through the tiny pinprick of light the lamp was putting off, he could tell the library had been raided at some point before its total abandonment. Mounds of books lay defeated on the ground, scattered about in a haphazard manner. The shelves blocked their path forward, but created a series of aisles that curved off into the distance. Vel hobbled after Piper as she maneuvered through one of the paths to the left. It was hard to keep pace with her determined stride. The bullet lodged in his leg was shocking him with increasing amounts of pain at every step, and his AI was gleeful in reminding him of the severity of his wound. He would demand they find a doctor to look at his leg first thing in the morning, but for now, he just grit his teeth and bared it. As Piper made one turn after another, Vel began to realize the library had been constructed into a literal maze, designed to disorient and confuse anyone trying to navigate it. He thought this a very odd choice on the architect's behalf, until he looked closer. As they strode past the ceiling-high shelves, he could see signs where new ones had been added or old ones torn down. What had likely once been organized rows had been redesigned into an extremely elaborate defense mechanism. When they took what he estimated to be the 15th turn, Vel could see a warm, inviting light at the end of the aisle. The maze gave way into a massive living area. The cracked and hard tile had been buried beneath layers of carpet swatches and pilfered rugs. The walls were hidden behind an army of shelving units, where sleeping nooks had been fashioned between the dusty tomes. There were smatterings of old couches, blankets, and pillows, all spread out before one of the two fireplaces that were at opposite ends of the room. Dominating the center of the area was an impossibly long, food-laden table with benches that ran its entire length. Stolen goods lined the walls, from golden ornate mirrors to stacks of pocket watches and crystal decanters. But the most common item found in this room were the children. They were everywhere, sleeping on the shelves, playing games of dice and cards at the table, shoveling copious amounts of food into their mouths, or reading by the light of the fire.
"Chester!"
Piper's voice echoed throughout the hall.
"I want a word with you!"
The horde of children sprang to their feet, scrambling over one another in their attempts to fend off whatever intruder had just arrived. Small daggers, shanks, and even a blackjack were drawn, each child growling as they brandished their weapons. Piper just glared at them and spat on the ground. Vel slumped against his copper pipe, the pain in his leg reaching a peak. He settled on giving them a withering look. The children halted, but didn't lower their weapons. Piper peered over their heads.
"Chester, call off the greenhorns. I've got some questions for you."
At the end of the long table was a middle-aged man, lounging in an elaborate armchair like a king on a throne. He certainly wore the appearance of a man living the life of pilfered luxury. He had on pinstriped slacks and a vest to match, with a high-neck blouse and a fur-lined leather coat. Golden chains from various pocket watches adorned his outfit like medals. His long, blonde hair was drawn into a tail at the nape of his neck and thrown over one shoulder. The only thing that shone brighter than the gold in the room was the piercing look of his blue eyes. The man cocked his head with a lazy smile.
"Piper? Is that you?"
He waved his hand and the children relaxed, backing away but keeping a wary eye on them. Chester beckoned the pair closer.
"We thought you were dead. What a pleasant surprise. Oh, and you brought a friend. How nice."
She once again charged forward, leaving Vel to limp behind her. He decided to do so at his own pace, slowly dragging his injured leg with each step. As he did, the children's curiosity overtook their caution, and they began to gather around him one by one. Piper stopped just in front of Chester and crossed her arms, staring daggers at him.
"Imagine my surprise. I'll get back into town, drop in to have a teary-eyed reunion with me brother, and discover that someone's gone and burned me house to the ground."
Chester's smile never wavered. He wore it like a mask, the expression speaking of only good-mannered hospitality, but his eyes were calculating, scheming.
"Well, you know your brother, always tinkering. He probably left a brazier burning by a curtain or something. You know, for being so intelligent, he really..."
"I know what you did. You see that man there?"
Piper interjected, stopping to jam a finger in Vel's direction, who was slowly lowering himself onto the bench amidst a growing number of wide-eyed orphans.
"He's some sort of expert arsonist, and he told me the fire was no accident."
Vel staggered and fell the rest of the way into his seat.
Actually, I'm not an—"
Piper slammed a fist into the table.
"Where is he?"
For the first time, Chester's smile flickered.
"Listen, Piper, sit down. Join me for some food. Your companion looks like hell."
Vel bit back on the curses that were flooding his mouth. The children were taken with him, and at their guardian's approval, began pushing food and drink before him, tugging on his coat, poking at the metal plates on his face, playing with his copper walking stick, and one even jabbed him in his bullet wound. While he'd never outright disliked children, moderation seemed to be key. He snatched up the nearest goblet of red liquid and downed it. He'd need some liquid courage to deal with the growing swarm of brats, not to mention the debilitating pain shooting up his hip and side. The cup was refilled as fast as he had finished it.
"Shasta, don't play games with me!"
Piper clenched her hand on the table, willing herself to keep her temper in check.
"Your brother is fine. Relax."
Chester sighed and shifted in his chair.
"If anything, you should be thanking me."
Piper narrowed her eyes.
"Elaborate."
"After you were grabbed by the street sweepers, of which we were devastated to hear, by the way, he tried to go after you. It took us a while, but in the end, we convinced him you would be back."
He gave her a wink.
"Looks like we were right."
Vel drained cup after cup of the pleasant liquor. The little bit of a buzz seemed to be helping muffle the pain. It wasn't gone, he just didn't seem to mind it as much, despite the warnings from his AI. He tore off a chunk of cheese as he motioned for the urchins to keep the wine coming, with pointed looks and a slam of his empty goblet. Chester raised an eyebrow at him, but did not protest. He climbed down off his ornate throne and stood before the fire, warming his front.
"That crisis averted, I tried to convince him to come back to our little family. I wanted to keep an eye on him, prevent anyone from taking advantage of such an innocent soul."
Piper gave a huff of disbelief.
"Except maybe you."
Chester made a noise of indignation.
"Oh, you cut me, Piper. You two were like my own flesh and blood. Honest truth. And a father can't play favorites."
He turned and gestured to the many orphans around the room.
"But I always had a special place in my heart for you two."
Vel tried to set his cup on the table again, but found his motions hindered by the growing number of children climbing all over him. The little brats were tugging on his ears, digging through his pockets and prodding him in the ribs and back.
"Will you call off your urchins?"
It wasn't a request, but a demand. Chester laughed and snapped his fingers a few times. The children stiffened and slumped off the cyborg. They trudged off to their usual haunts, their heads hung low.
"Thank you."
Vel adjusted the collar of his jacket pointedly. He cleared his throat.
"Enough touchy-feely. Get to the damn point of your story."
Chester's smile flattened slightly.
"Quite. Very well. He refused, so we burned down your house while your brother was out. Afterwards, he came to me, distraught and homeless. I gave him a place to stay and promised to pay your landlord for all the damages."
He walked around the opposite side of the table, dragging his fingers along the wood. Piper sighed, half in relief, half in despair.
"Alone, I assume? What percentage did you give him?"
Chester laughed.
"Let's just say, for being so good with numbers, your dear brother finds the concept of money a bit abstract."
Piper groaned, covering her eyes with her hand.
"So, where is he?"
"With my close personal tutelage, he has moved up in the world."
He paused and flourished an upward gesture with his fingers. Literally. Piper dropped her hands and stared at Chester suspiciously.
What's that supposed to mean?
Chester rapped a knuckle on the table, as though knocking on a door. There was a rhythmic clacking noise, and then several articulated copper legs began crawling over the edge of the table, followed by several more, until all 8 legs of a mechanical spider were navigating their way around a tray of dense bread. Vel leaned in closer. The craftsmanship was elegant, with intricate scrollwork engraved into each panel, and it seemed to run on a series of tiny spring-powered gears. Chester put out a hand, onto which the spider daintily crawled.
I acquired him a position in the college.
Piper's face drained of color.
He returns the favor by smuggling out little things for me now and then.
He pet the spider affectionately.
Some I sell, others I add to my collection. He gets all the toys he could ever want, and I get a person on the inside.
You bastard!
Piper's rage returned to her in a rush as the gravity of Chester's words hit her. She scrambled over the bench, scattering table settings and food. She reached out and slugged him squarely in the face. Caught off guard, Chester's eyes went wide and he stumbled backward.
They've killed people for less!
Tears were glistening in her eyes again. The air of the room shifted with the sound of a dozen shanks being drawn. There was a surge of movement, and a wave of tiny assassins converged towards Piper. A resounding crack of splintering wood boomed through the hall as Vel slammed his mechanical forearm into the thick table, spreading huge cracks along its surface and sending platters of food crashing to the floor. It had the desired effect, startling the attackers into a momentary hesitation. He lunged across the table, sliding along its slick surface to position himself in front of Piper, despite the cries of agony from his injured leg.
Stop!
Chester put up one hand, signaling the swarm of children. His other was rubbing gingerly at the place where Piper had socked him.
I will not have bloodshed in my hall!
Vel's vision blurred slightly, and words seemed to have trouble making their way past his ears. He scanned the area, his AI highlighting all the drawn weapons. Emboldened by the alcohol, he reached out and snatched Chester by the collar of his shirt, hauling him off his feet and into the air. Vel pulled him in closer as his cybernetic eye began to glow red. His fingers gripped tight around the fabric, the pistons in his arm hissing angrily. He wasn't sure what was going on, but he knew this man was the ringleader.
Granddad, what are you doing? Stop!
Vel slowly became aware of the fact that Piper was frantically tugging on his jacket. The haze of anger still clouded his mind, making his thought process sluggish. He looked back to Chester, who was now going slightly blue in the face, his fingers tearing uselessly at Vel's mechanical hand. Children were once again advancing, on him this time. They looked terrified, but determined. One was even crying as it clutched a tiny knife with both hands.
Vel!
It was the first time she had ever used his name. He let go, and the man fell to the floor, gasping. Vel's head spun. The world began to tilt. His vision swam and his breathing grew fast and erratic. All the strength in Vel's body rushed out of him like a cup turned upside down. He fell to his hands and knees, the room rocking beneath him like a boat in a storm. He caught sight of his empty goblet. He had been drunk before. He knew what that was like. This was something different. He looked weakly at Chester, who was glaring daggers at him from the ground, holding his own throat. Vel's joints weakened, and he slumped to the side. He reached out to grab hold of Piper's ankle and whispered,
"Poison,"
before falling gently into the black folds of unconsciousness.
Of Tyrants and Teakettles is book 2 of the ongoing sci-fantasy series by author Leslie Herron. Join us as the adventure unfolds, with new chapters releasing every few weeks.
Hey, mister, why you is so long? Did you know you got a piece of metal on your face?
Listen, kids.
Can I have this pipe?
No, I need that to walk.
You smell funny. What's this thing you had in your pockets?
Hey, give me back my toothbrush.
You talk weird. Want to see me do a trick?
What? No. Ow! Who bit me? Will you call off your urchins?